This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Doe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Joining us today on the Johncast is Dr. Robert Crittenden from the University of Portsmouth. Hello.
Hello.
So you're talking to us today on, your title is Non-Gaussianities in the Cosmic Microwave Background. That's correct, isn't it?
That's right.
So could you first explain what the cosmic microwave background is?
So the cosmic microwave background is basically it's radiation left over from the Big Bang. When the universe was young, it was much hotter than it is today. And there was a lot of very excited electrons and protons and other things floating around. And there's also radiation, which was scattering between them. And so that's been there ever since the Big Bang started. But when the universe cooled down to a certain level, eventually the electrons and protons were able to combine together to form hydrogen atoms. And when that happened, something like 400,000 years after the Big Bang, all of a sudden, the universe becomes transparent to this light, which basically directly comes to us from the very edges of our observable universe to where we are today. As it sort of is very old light, it hasn't really been modified by any other processes, things that happened along the way. It gives us a very clear picture of what the universe looked like at this time of 100,000 years after the Big Bang. Basically gives us a baby picture of the universe. So if you think about the age of myself, 45 years old, compare that to the 13, 14 billion year age of the universe, this is basically 400,000 years is the equivalent of just an hour or two after birth. So this is the first picture that we have of the universe, and it allows us to try to look at that and try to extrapolate backwards to figure out what happened before that period. So it's our best picture at the moment, or best source of information of getting information about the early universe.
So that's what the cosmic microwave background is, and you're talking about non-Gaussianities. What do you hope, before we get to understand what they actually are, what do you hope to be able to probe using non-Gaussianities of the cosmic microwave background?
Well, we're looking to probe models of the very early universe. We have the Big Bang model, which works very well in explaining a whole host of observations that we know about. And so we very much believe it's true, but it brings in other kinds of questions about how the universe began. Because the Big Bang doesn't tell you anything about the initial conditions about the universe. And it seems like we need fairly special initial conditions in order to explain what we see today. So, for example, we don't see that the universe potentially could be curved, but we don't see any sign of that curvature of the large-scale universe. And if you extrapolate back into the past, then that curvature must have been really, really small at the beginning of the universe. And inflation is a model which tries to explain why the universe began the way it began. Basically, what it proposes is that sometime in the very early universe, you're talking, fractions of a second here, the universe went through a period of very fast accelerated expansion. And what this accelerated expansion does, it sort of drives away any kind of curvature that you have. It sort of completely irons out the universe. And it also gives you a way of creating the fluctuations that we see, the seeds for structure that eventually develop to form galaxies and clusters of galaxies that we know about.
Okay, so you're trying to probe inflation theories then?
That's right.
And these are the seed perturbations which we then see in the cosmic microwave background.
Yeah, the problem is that we have this sort of vague notion of inflation, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different ways it might have been implemented. And we don't have that many observables that we can look at to try to say which one of those ways is correct. And so we're trying to look for as many different handles on that process as we can find. And non-Gaussianity is another handle that we haven't really considered before.
In simple words, could you explain non-Gaussianities?
Well, it's a negative, so it's sort of hard to say. What we're saying is what it's not. What it's not is something which would be called a Gaussian or normal distribution. So when we look at the temperature fluctuations on the sky, what a Gaussian distribution would say is that, at the most naive level, that the distribution of temperature pixels follows a nice bell curve, the way that you generically expect things to happen. There's something where a normal curve or a bell curve is something that happens in all sorts of different kinds of physical, for all the different physical reasons, because it's sort of the most generic thing that can occur when you start adding different kinds of things together. If we don't see that kind of sort of generic behavior and see some deviation from that behavior, then that could be a signal for the special physics that was going on in the early universe.
So you're saying that the inflation made these original perturbations and these original changes of density in the universe, and then we're trying to look at those in the cosmic microwave background by having a look at their distribution, seeing whether they're bell curve or not. You can pin down which inflation model caused those perturbations.
That's right. I mean, so we do know, or the microwave background is telling us more and more about those original seeds of structure. And so we know relatively how much structure there is on very large scales compared to how much it is on smaller scales. But this is giving us another handle on that. I mean, inflation also predicts, for example, a spectrum of gravitational radiation or gravity waves coming from the early universe, which we haven't yet seen. Which would give us another handle. But this special distribution, or this non-bell curve distribution, would give us some kind of signal for how the physics actually occurred.
Where does your research come into this then?
Okay, well, what I'm focusing on today is trying to understand a little bit better about how you go from the predictions of inflation, which occur microseconds after the Big Bang, out to the physics of what we actually see on the microwave sky, what those maps are telling us. Because there is 400,000 years of processing that goes on in that time. We think we have a pretty good idea of how that works. We think it should, for the most part, translate what we see from these early universe theories like inflation into the CMB. That should be fairly one-to-one kind of correspondence to what we expect. But you can have more complicated physics, which ends up processing that in such ways so that you could take something which is nice, pure Gaussian, pure bell curve to begin with, and that evolution in that 400,000 years before the microwave background is created makes it become non-bell curve shape. You have some kind of intrinsic non-Gaussianity, some intrinsic signal, which is just there because the physics is non-linear. You know that gravitational fluctuations, or there's a natural system for amplifying small perturbations to larger perturbations. And we know that at some level that's going to be non-linear and source these kinds of signals. And this question is, how big are those things?
What is the underlying physics that drives this changing in the perturbations from inflation to the cosmic microwave background? Because you said that you're going to have these non-Gaussianities caused by these physics. Could you briefly explain what that physics is?
Well, it's quite a complex system of or network of things to try to keep track of. So effectively, in the simplest models, we start out with sort of some kind of fixed ratio of the densities of light to ordinary matter to dark matter. And that ratio is basically the same at any place in time. And we have to evolve those things from the early universe until today. And we have to keep track of how each one of those components evolves in that period. So we have to keep track of how the density in a particular region of space, the density of baryons or ordinary matter evolves, and the density of photons evolves, and the density of dark matter evolves. And so it's trying to keep track of all those things. And also, for example, neutrinos, these very light particles are also in the universe. And we have to keep track of all these different things and trying to understand precisely how not only their densities evolve, but also how they're moving.
So these evolving under gravity, these density perturbations. What other physics is going into how these evolve then?
Well, a lot of them are only evolving through gravity. Things like the dark matter are only interacting gravitationally, but we also have scattering between the light and the electrons and protons in the early universe. And that couples very tightly the densities in the light to the densities in the ordinary matter, the electrons and the protons. And so for a long time, the scattering is very efficient. And then only at this time of about 400,000 years old, the universe cools down enough that the electrons and protons can merge to form the hydrogen. And then that's when the universe becomes transparent.
So you're talking about describing a universe, all the constituents that we know exist in the universe, and just almost turning the handle to find out what happens given a simple theory of inflation. And from that, say, how much of this non-Gaussianity comes through this simple turning of the handle with the simple physics of, as you say, scattering from electrons and photons and gravity.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple physics, but it's hard to keep track of to some extent. So, even in the simplest case where you just have dark matter, and you start at sort of spread fairly homogeneously, to evolve a simulation like that until the present, it's quite an expensive computation because in effect, you're having to look at how all these different particles attract and interact with each other at the same time. And that's sort of in the usual case, when you usually look at the microwave background, it's simpler than that. But when you want to get more accurate, then you have these nonlinearities which kick in, which then make it a much more difficult calculation.
And so you're trying to almost tell us what is masking a signal from inflation from the physics that we already understand, just actually following it through properly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that basically has to be there if we follow the physics, but because the physics has been so complicated, nobody's actually done that calculation before.
Okay.
So that's what we're trying to do, trying to figure out how much you might bias or fool yourself into believing that there's something interesting from inflation there when really it's just ordinary physics.
You said earlier that the perturbations in density came from inflation theory. Could you briefly explain how that actually occurs?
Right. Well, I mean, so like I was saying before, inflation is a period of very fast accelerated expansion, much like what we're going through today through probably know about dark energy, which is causing the present universe to expand. This is a similar kind of period, but in the very early universe. So it happening at very much higher energy scales. And so this period of inflation, what's happening is that during this period, you can have what are called quantum fluctuations in the fields that are hanging around the universe at that time. They have quantum fluctuations like anything does. And so those quantum fluctuations mean that the density fluctuations are created. But then what happens is that because of the accelerated expansion, these density fluctuations that you create are pulled and stretched to very large scales where they can no longer interact anymore. They go beyond the horizon size, we call it, the distance to which you can have causal physics acting. And so they basically get frozen in. And the more inflation happens, the bigger these fluctuations become. And eventually they become what we're seeing in the sky today, from the fairly small scales all the way up to the size of the early universe. The theory is that these seed fluctuations were created within a fairly small size, but then just stretched exponentially into larger and larger sizes.
And so what caused that rapid expansion?
Well, I mean, similar to theories of present expansion, really what you need to expand quickly is some kind of matter or energy, which basically has negative pressure, effectively acts repulsively under gravity. Today, we have various theories for what that dark energy may be. Usually, when we talk about inflation, we're talking about some kind of field, some kind of variety of matter, which is sort of in what's called sort of trapped in some kind of false vacuum state. So it's similar to dark energy, but it's happening in the very early universe.
So you're saying there's a specific type of particle which existed in this early period, which drove this expansion. So why don't we see this particle now?
For one, we don't know what that particle is. We don't know how it fits into our standard model for the other fields. There are some theories where it could be related in some limit to the Higgs field, the Higgs boson that people know about. Normally, it's assumed to be some new field that we didn't know about that's eventually decays into the normal kind of matter that we see today. So it's not a stable particle. It's something that decays away when the universe is relatively young.
So for inflation, you require there to be particles which we don't already know about.
For the most part, most of the theories that we talk about are completely unrelated to the standard model. A lot of them are motivated by extensions of the standard model, either what are called grand unified theories or string theory models of the universe.
Do you think that CERN will help you discover what particles play a part in inflation, or are there reasons why you think that won't?
It's probably unlikely. The candidates we have for inflation are usually fairly massive because we're thinking about these things happening at the very early universe when the universe was incredibly hot, much hotter than CERN can get to. So it's possible if it's related to the Higgs boson, then there might be some observational signs, but for the most part, most of the models would not be that open to exploration through CERN.
Probing this inflation is kind of like killing two birds with one stone. You get to understand cosmology, but you also get to understand more about particle physics.
Yeah, if we could figure out how inflation happened, we know something else about the whole zoo of particles that there are, and we would have to fit that into to a bigger picture, and that could give us some guidance about how you extend the standard model beyond what we see.
Oh, brilliant. That's very interesting. Thank you for coming today.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me.